Today, we're going to talk about your business map. Probably one of the more important things that you're going to do is the development of your business map. And this is huge. Some people call it a business plan. And I think it's kind of, a business plan to me invokes this huge, big, thick document that we kind of fill out for accounting and banking types, and we never really look at it again. And that's not what we want. We want a map that's going to help us determine where we are, where we're going, and the direction we're going to take to get there. That's all it is, and it's going to be something that we're going to look at on a fairly regular basis. Business map, one of the important, most important things that you're going to do. So let's talk about them just for a minute. Again, you're going to be able to download this form. There's a skeleton form that's there on a page that has this information, this video on it. So go ahead and get that business map template downloaded. But let's think about a business map. A business plan, you know, it's a formal statement. You set up your business goals, the reason why you believe they're attainable, the plans for reaching those goals. May also contain some background information about the organization or the team attempting to reach those goals. It's kind of a type of scenario that if you handed this to someone, they would have an idea pretty quickly about what your business is all about. Now, a business map is a working document used to define a route a business might take from startup to specific financial goals, or from where you're at, even if you're not a startup, to particular financial goals. It's a working document, and the reason that I keep using that term, it's a working document, is this is not something I want you to do once and sit on the shelf. I want you to look at it on a monthly basis. I want you to make it part of who you are. So this is not something we do just for grins for somebody else. This is something that you do for you to make your business better. We've been to the time management piece. This is huge, one of the big rocks in quadrant two. Okay? So business map, very, very important to your business. So you can download that map template from mkoneil.com at eedevdownloads.html. It also should be on the web page where you are to get this this video itself. Okay, so go ahead and download that map template. If you don't have it, stop the video right now and go ahead and download that. All right, the first part of this is the players, and this is kind of important. We're going to create a vision statement, and if you look at your template, it has a vision statement up there. We're going to create that vision statement, but you're going to do that last because we have to go through some processes here to make sure that what we're doing in our business and our vision statement match. Your vision statement is not something that you need to rush into. Let's go ahead and get business started, kind of get your planning hat on, think some things through, and then we'll go back and finish that vision statement. Identify the people that you need to run your business because you're not going to be able to do it all by yourself. Let's think about what happened if you did do it all by yourself. Think what a limiting thing that would be. Let me explain that just a minute. Suppose that what you were doing is you were mowing yards. Well, you can mow, let's say, 3 yards a day. All right, so you mow 3 yards a day. You've got to mow a yard every 2 weeks. If you mow 3 yards a day for 5 days a week, that's 15 yards at a time in 2 weeks. Even if you mowed every day, the maximum number of yards, you would be limited. 15 yards a week or 30 in a two-week time period. Then it'd be time to step the first ones again. So what happens is that your business is now limited to a maximum of 30 yards unless you decide to work weekends. So you're limiting what you can do. You've also limited the fact that you can't get any more customers because you don't have time to do any marketing. You don't have time to spend time on the phone. You don't have time to go and talk to other people about mowing your yard. You don't have time to go to networking meetings. You don't have time to do anything except mow a yard. Well, that's fine if you're completely saturated and you're happy with the income that limits that you have put on yourself for Grunch and Pose. If you're not, then maybe you need to hire somebody else to mow a yard once in a while so you can go to a networking meeting so that you can expand your business. Maybe you need to hire someone to do other things that you don't like to do. Could be administrative tasks, could be emails, could be a variety of things. But you're not going to be able to do your business by yourself, or if you do choose to do your business by yourself, it's going to be a very, very limiting type scenario. So you're going to need some some other folks, that doesn't necessarily mean that you've got to go hire employees. Some of these people are going to donate their time. Some of these people you're going to hire from a contractual basis. Right? You want to add in there a company summary and kind of what you're doing and why you're trying to do that. And you're going to put in a concierge or a counselor. Now, this is an incredibly important step and one that most people do not do. And it, again, limits their business. Let's define kind of what a counselor is. And I'm going to define it from the term concierge and where that comes. It was made popular, actually, by the movie The Godfather, where you had a concierge that was a counselor, basically, to the Don. And what a counselor does is that a concierge basically acts as a second brain, if you will. They should be not nearly as tied up emotionally in your business as you are. So they can look at things in more of a dispassionate role. And that's huge. That is huge because sometimes, being a business owner, we get so wrapped up in our baby that we can't see that the baby needs a bath, or the baby needs to get a diaper change, or the baby needs to get that different shirt put on, or the shirt's dirty, or whatever, right? Because all we see is this beautiful, beautiful baby. So we need to get somebody that's a little bit more unpassionate, a little bit more less emotional to look at that and go, change the shirt. Go change the shirt, right? Give him a bath. So this is what your counselor does. It's got to be somebody that's incredibly important to you, incredibly honest to you, that loves you enough that they will tell you when you're wrong. And let me tell you, a good counselor is hard to find. They've got to be in a scenario. The counselor's also got to be in a scenario of where they're not ambitious. They don't want your business. Right? But they do want the best for you. If you can get yourself a counselor, a good counselor, that will pay off in huge dividends for you down the road. Other parts, there's parts 3 and 4, which is your products and services and your market assessment. Products and services is exactly that. What do you sell? Whether it's a thing, whether it's a service, a coaching type, whatever it is, write that down because that's going to change over time. And you will have products and services that you think would be a good idea that won't work out. You'll have some that will work out better than you thought. You'll have some that you write down and you forgot about. So write those things down. And the market assessment basically is that why do you think this is going to work? What problem specifically, what problem are you trying to solve? And if you can go and you can solve a problem for a segment of people, talk to that segment of people that has that problem and inform them that you have the solution, you will be successful. It's that easy. So this is an incredibly important part here to make sure that the solutions, the market assessment, matches the actual products that you're trying to sell. Fourth is marketing, or part 5 is marketing. And part of that is your niche. So let's think about this, your niche. How are we going to define your niche? That's the segment of the population that you can serve. So I always cringe when I'm in a meeting and somebody says, okay, who's your perfect client? And they says, well, anybody that, no, your client is not anybody. Your client is not anybody. If you're aiming at anybody, that's not good. You're not going to be able to hit that. And I'll give you an example. Anybody that needs a new car. Anybody, my client maybe, let's say if you sell cars, anybody that needs automobile, needs transportation would be my client because everybody needs a car. Well, not everybody has enough money to buy a car. So that segment of the population that doesn't have enough money to buy a car, you do not need to market to. They will not buy your goods and services because they cannot afford you. Therefore, do not market to those people who you know going in cannot afford you. segment who that is. So one of the ways of segmenting and finding out in your own mind who your niche is to come up with your perfect client. So let's think about who your perfect client is. Who do you really, really like working with? Yeah, who do you really, really like working with? Is that, in some cases, they may be a particular age. They may not be. They may be a particular gender. They may not be. I know lots of scenarios where people will only market to women. And that's fine if that produces a large enough income that you're happy with. Then you can limit that. But understand what you're doing is you've just eliminated half the population on the face of the earth. So think about who your perfect client is. They may be a man or a woman. They may be a particular age or a particular stage in their life. Stage in their life is a good way of thinking of it. They may be of before children, before they have children, but married couples before they have children. There may be married couples with young children, children that are in the 1 to 10-year-old range, for instance, 1 to 5-year-old range. Maybe parents that, couples that have teenage children, maybe couples that are empty nesters, right? Maybe couples that are retired, and maybe individuals that are retired. I mean, there's lots of different segments that you can go, and you can kind of break this into what problem do you solve for a particular client. And what you need to do is you need to define that client. Now, it may be that you also break that down into types of people that you really like working with. Some people really like working with analyticals. Some people really, really hate working with analyticals, right? Analyticals are going to ask a lot of questions. They're going to want a lot of facts. Non-analyticals, they may be more interested in how this is going to make me feel, what is going to be the end result in the, of this as far as impacting my emotional life. Analyticals would not be interested in that. So you've got to think about that's another way of segmenting the population. Once you find that niche and the way that you segment your population, what you do then is that you now have a target and you aim like a laser beam, you aim at that target so that you're not shooting at everybody in the world. You're shooting at that target. And once you find out what that target is, now you've got to go looking as to where do those people and people like them congregate in large numbers. Where can you go find them? Because if what happens is that you find each person that represents your niche, your tribe, your group, your inner circle, if you find each one of those, and you have to find each one of them on a one-on-one basis, that's a tougher thing to do. That's a tougher scenario. So, but if you can go and you can find 50 of them at a time, the chances of you being able to make a meaningful connection are much greater. So where can you find them in large numbers is important. And then how are you going to touch them? Are you going to touch them through one-on-one conversations? Are you going to touch them with a classroom setting? Are you going to touch them with a webinar? Are you going to touch them with an emotional appeal? Are you going to touch them with a factual statement? How are you going to touch them, and what method of communication are you going to use? Is that going to be electronic? For instance, if you're marketing to a group of young men today, and let's say that your target group is young men in their 25 to 35-year-old, your marketing must include some type of electronic communication. It must be something that they're going to see on their cell phones. Otherwise, they're just not going to deal with it. Some kind of texting, something that's coming to them through apps or some kind of advertising in that regard on their cell phones, because a male in the United States today between 25 and 35 is spending a lot of time with his cell phone. So that's a great place for you to, a great way for you to touch them. Think about how you're going to increase contacts among this group. What does that group want? What do they, how do they get their information? How do they get their news? How do they find friends? How do they make their money? How much money do they make? How are you going to insert yourself into that area so that you can make a contact with those people? All right. Another thing that you need to think about from your business map is what are your income streams? And you need to have multiple income streams. And by multiple income streams, I mean that you've got to sell more than one product. If all you sell is one thing, I guarantee you the environment, the economy, something's going to change, and that one thing is going to suffer a decrease in sales at some point. So what you want to have is you would like to have multiple streams of income so that you can not only suffer through or make it through the cycles or the economics that we go through, the up and the down times of the general economy, but you also want to be able to have a better way of touching different folks at different economic platforms. So if you've got multiple income streams, you may have an online class that's a particular cost. You may have a book that's a much lesser cost. You may have a one-on-one coaching that's a much higher cost. You're able at that point to touch the same type of clientele but at three different economic levels. And that's important. So those are three different income streams. So think about how you're going to come up with multiple income streams and how each of those income streams is going to play out. From a financial standpoint, how are you going to fund your business? Are you going to fund your business personally, yourself, for a period of how long? Do you have funding to fund it for a month, a year, 2 years? How long are you going to be, is your funding going to hold out? And if you're not funding it yourself, then that means that you're getting funding from outside sources. Those outside sources, whether it be venture capitalists or whether it be a bank or whatever it is, they're going to be looking for some kind of return. So how are you going to get those returns quickly? How are you going to fund your business? And then how are you going to get it out from underneath them so that you don't have to continually be going back to them? How are you going to measure how well you're doing financially? Is it going to be in terms of gross revenues? Is it going to be in terms of profit? How are you going to follow that profit? Are you going to be using it with my cash flow worksheet, or do you have something else to follow that profit? How are you going to measure your financial and your financial plans? There's a variety of ways of doing that, many of which I have outlined and are available here to this program, but you've got to decide that you are going to measure that and then document how you're going to do it. Document what your overall financial goals are, because I guarantee you, if you do not have a financial goal, you will not make it, because what you're doing is you're shooting into the sky as opposed to shooting to a particular target. And if you aim at nothing, you will hit it. You'll hit nothing. That is not what you really want to do. What's your goal for income streams? And we talked about your different income streams, so what are your goals for each one of those income streams? Because what happens sometimes is that people get wrapped up in this idea that they're going to go start this business. And it's not until a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line that they realize there's just no way, given their income streams, they were going to be able to make the kind of income that they had hoped in that particular business. And if they'd have done the math at this point, while they were doing their financial math, their business math, they would have realized that. Otherwise, they're just, again, they're aiming at nothing. All right, so let's think about what's your worst-case scenario. What's the worst that can happen? Well, the worst that can happen is I don't sell anything at all. Well, I don't sell anything at all, and your monthly income or your monthly expenses are what? And how long can we how long can we handle that? So think about what your worst-case scenario is. And it's going to take some time and some real thinking to come up with that. Then I want you to do this. I want you to double it. Double it. So if your worst case scenario is I'm going to lose $1,000 a month, double that, $2,000 a month, $10,000 a month, whatever it is, double it. And the reason that I tell you to double it is this. We tend to look at our business, at our lives, through rose-colored glasses. We tend to think that the problems are smaller than they are. We tend to think that the income is going to be higher than it is. We tend to think the expenses are going to be less than they are. And we're never, as as efficient at our time as we think we are. So take your worst case scenario and double it, and that will give you a closer approximation to what your worst case scenario is and how long you can actually survive that. And then that's the question, can you survive a worst case scenario? That's all in the business map. So the next thing that we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about your website. And we'll be talking about that here in just a minute. Anyhow, I appreciate you you listening, and we will catch you here talking about your website in just a few minutes. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon. This is Mark Neal, the